Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm actually buying a new guitar. I will never need to buy another gigging bass. Now I've got the stone filled. Bass.
Hello and welcome to episode 200 of the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by all the best guitar nerds, Mark Packham and Matthew Knight.
Hello.
Can you believe it, listener? We've made it all the way to episode 200. And finally, after all this time, we've managed to sack Jay Cross.
He's gone. He's never coming
back. Official news. He's out.
He's gone.
He has gone. Well, no, yes, he has gone. He's gone to Blooming Nam. So,
National Association of Magical Masseuses.
Yes. Yes, so Jay has gone to Nam, which means that we don't even manage. That's right, listen, that's how bad it was. We don't even manage a full house
so
for episode 200.
Let me put this into context, because episode 200's been on the horizon for a while.
Yeah.
And if you, as we've done every year, Gear of the Year episodes have been numbered episodes. If you had followed that, episode 200 would have been the day we did Best Bass Thing,
yeah.
I think.
That's right, yeah.
Which, you know, no one likes the bass, so no. We thought that was not appropriate. But then it rolled around that episode 200 was going to be today.
Yeah.
So we knew Jay wasn't going to be here.
I didn't want this to be episode 200,
so,
listener. I campaigned for it not to be.
So there was talk about making this like a sub-episode, like
yeah.
pre-NAMM special,
yeah.
episode one, and then, or pre-NAMM special, and then the one after, which Matt isn't going to be on.
Yeah.
We were going to call post-NAMM special,
yep.
and then have episode 200.
That was the best idea. I don't know why you didn't go for that.
Because I feel that we've held off long enough, and that we had to kind of burst the bubble at some point. So,
yeah, I guess so. I mean, the most annoying part of this for me was the fact that we agreed that this would be episode 200 on, like, Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And we're recording this on Monday, and that meant putting together a great big clips show.
Yeah, we've had to go through, or more importantly, or more accurately, Joe has had to go through, find clips of our funniest bits.
Yeah.
And that's what the show's going to be. Today.
Yes. So a little bit of a different one, listener, if you were hoping for some pre-NAMM news. We might discuss a little bit of it at the end if we get round to it, but I think we're going to talk about Guitar Nerds entire. And thank you all very much for listening to us and allowing us to make it to episode 200.
200 episodes?
That's 4 years.
Matt, what were you doing? What were you doing 200 episodes ago?
Well, we were doing the GAK podcast.
I mean sort of in life.
I don't know. I'd probably move to London at that point.
Yeah, I know, because over the weekend I had to listen to 199 episodes of the Guitar Nerds
podcast. What date is the first episode?
Matt still worked for Andertons.
Yep.
Back then.
Do you know what? I can't find the date of the first episode. That's really annoying. I think it's something like the 5th of May 2013.
Hmm.
Something like that.
Wow.
So
no, it must be 2014, surely.
No, it's 13, because we were doing GAC in 2013 and 2014, and then we started Guitar Nerds in...
Guitar Nerds
In 2015.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, so Guitar Nerds started in 2015.
Yeah, exactly that.
I sort of remember the first episode where... I'm sure it was the first one. Also, it was some sort of pre-announcement where you must have said Guitar Nerds like 100 times.
Yeah, we did a before, because we're going to play a clip from episode one in a minute here, how we all sounded. But before we did that, we did a YouTube reveal of what we were going to do, didn't we? Like,
I remember that.
Like,
we were all
stars.
Wearing matching white t-shirts.
Yeah, we all, yeah, no, we weren't. Were
yeah, we were. Yeah.
Okay, that video exists somewhere. I should try and dig that up from somewhere.
I think it was accidental, but we were all wearing matching white t-shirts.
But yeah, that's like after...
We looked like a Gap advert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After we decided that we were going to do it, that was our announce, like, reveal. And if it was now, that would be on Patreon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you see all these people now that leave doing one project, move to another. I just feel like we were kind of bumbling around. Didn't know what Guitar Nerds was, didn't know what we were doing. And
no, well, we should...
change. 4 years on, no change.
Well, I'll tell you what, there is something of a change. We should listen to a clip from episode one because Mark Packham, I think, sounds afraid hosting it, despite racking up something like 150 episodes under the GAK podcast. And generally speaking, I think the pace was a lot slower as well.
Yeah, so it was 100 episodes under GAK with me on board. But yeah, we'll listen to the clip now, but yeah, for me the thing is, like, we're all talking really slowly now. We're just, you know, we rally it off.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird. Let's listen to the clip. Hello and welcome to the first ever Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, my name's Jay Cross. How's it going?
Hello, my name's Matt. And I'm coming from the other side of England?
No, the M23.
Yeah, there's a small motorway in between us. And hello, I'm Joe Banton. I'm here for bass-related queries.
Isn't it good to be back, chaps?
It is.
It's good to be back on bass-related queries. I don't have to worry about, like, guiding these chumps around anymore.
Yeah, it's me in charge.
I guess it's funny because you say it's the first Guitar Nerds podcast, but it's not the first podcast we've done, but it's like the first of a new era. It feels exciting.
For those just joining us, this is a podcast about guitars and being nerdy about guitars and all of the cool things that we love about guitars, amps, pedals, bass guitars, acoustic guitars.
We like strings and power supplies as well.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about pedals, I think. So as this is the first one of a new podcast, I guess, we should sort of introduce... Like, we all did a podcast before when we were working for a retailer, and we are now back together again to
freelance.
Talk about guitars. Yeah, yeah. And just to explain, Matt is a former Brightonian who is now living north of the M25.
North of the wall.
So you're joining us on the internet.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out how long the delay is so that I don't talk over people or you talk over me.
Well, you're sounding good at least, so we'll try not to talk over you, and feel free to jump in.
Why do I not sound good?
Well, I mean, you've always sounded great, but the internet is not hampering that in any way. So we'll talk about, hopefully over the coming weeks and months, on a weekly basis, we're going to talk about guitars, new releases, we'll review some stuff, we'll talk about what we've been playing, the new stuff on the market, things that have just come out, and mainly we'll be answering your questions. Now, for a while we've had a Facebook group running, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group, where people, lovely people, submit questions and talk about stuff. So I thought, as a way to kick off, let's take some questions from the group.
First thing that hits me is, like, the pace of everything is so slow. But the idea is kind of there, isn't it? You know, we say this is a podcast about all this kind of nerdy stuff. We're going to talk about the news. We're going to take questions. That's basically been the format of the podcast.
It was so long-winded just to get to that point, though. And also, do you see what we were actually paying attention to people in the group back
God.
Then? We were about to answer questions
first.
I think we were just paying attention to each other. And I just like the fact he said bass-related queries. I didn't even forget that was a thing.
Yeah, I know. I used to only do bass stuff. I hate bass now.
That's no one lie. Likes bass.
You love the bass.
Yeah. But we did, however, live up to Jay Cross's promise about talking about power supplies.
I can't believe it. Episode one. He predicted this.
For anyone, you know, ragging on the Gear of the Year this year, we said it in episode one. There will be particular attention paid to power supplies
and accessories.
Yeah, and accessories. So you knew what you were getting yourselves in for. Anyone moaning about it, go back and listen to episode one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a pretty good. Do you know what, actually, what that reminded me of? The fact that we used the old group to begin with and then spun off to Guitar Nerds Forum.
Oh, yeah, that was the old group.
Yeah. Now.
I wonder if that still exists.
It doesn't. We've blocked it.
Oh, have we?
Yeah, in some way. I can't remember what we did. But the fact that we took questions first is really interesting because this, from the start, has been a kind of collaborative thing, obviously for the four of us, also guests that we've had on, but really, you know, a lot of the discussion in Guitar Nerds has been coming from the group, and you know, we've taken questions from there, but also topic ideas and general feedback. I think most of it we ignore, you know, when there's feedback about, you know, kick Joe off, obviously I delete those messages before he sees them.
Sure, and he's a sensitive boy,
so I get rid of them before he sees them. But yeah, in general, I think, you know, we've listened to the people a lot of the time.
Sure, yeah. But other than the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, the weekly hour-long podcast, we've also had sort of special things that have occurred across the well, 199 episodes before now.
There's been more than that.
Well, yeah, fine. There have been. But those things came in the form of quizzes and, of course, our Gear of the Years, which we've had a few of. But the quizzes, which we started off with the idea of having them every 25 episodes, and they've sort of
faded out. The first one, according to this, is episode 21, so yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Well, it's because it was just a random idea. I think there wasn't a lot of news that week, and I was like, oh, I'll do a quiz, because I hosted the first one.
Yeah.
Which was quite interesting.
I think we're due for another one, aren't we, soon? We've got to have a quiz soon.
We will do one, yes. I was listening back to the first one. It was really, I remember us recording it. We recorded it at your old flat, but all sat on the sofa, which didn't work because I was sort of trying to you could see my answers because I was trying to hold a mic and a piece of scribbled paper with like all the scores on. It really wasn't very good, but we did get good at quizzes because the next time I hosted a quiz, which was
episode 100.
It was the first quiz, episode 21, wasn't it? Yeah. So in the first quiz, I came up with, other than maybe something you did later on, I came up with maybe one of the best rounds ever conceived, which was my customer facing round, where I pretended to be a customer and I came in with an issue and Each of you had to help me as a customer, and it was absolutely fantastic. Let's play that clip now, because this I think was me on firing on all cylinders.
We haven't heard that since.
No,
this is your hard
episode 21.
Are we on the fifth round already?
Is that the last round?
It is the last round.
Okay, good.
Yes,
because we're running out of time.
I know. We're on this round, which I have titled "The Right Effect." Now, for this fun-filled round, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a little bit of role play. So I'm going to come to you one by one, and you're going to have to help me shop. Okay? I'm going to rate your performance out of 10.
Okay.
On how I've got some products in mind that I want you to lead me to.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if your skills as a guitar nerd are acute enough to lead me to the right place.
I'm astute and acute.
Yes, wonderful. Mark Packham, first of all.
Hello. I run a very simple setup. Just my Les Paul Jr. straight into my Orange OR50. But I need to get a more natural sounding grunt at a lower volume.
Something about that elderly voice and the natural sounding grunt.
Grunt is topical anyway.
What can you suggest?
A more natural sounding grunt.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm after. For my Les Paul Junior that I run straight into my orange OR 50.
And you want to, when you say a natural grunt, you mean you want a bit more distortion?
That's
a bit more
right, but yes, a little bit more some gainy overdrive, but at a lower volume, really.
I would suggest maybe get an Ibanez Tube Screamer.
Oh, really? An Ibanez Tube Screamer? What will that allow me to do?
I didn't realise we were going into this.
I'll tell you what, actually, we don't need to. You've answered the question, yes. Right, so there we go. Next question. New customer.
I want to sound like The Cure.
I would highly recommend that you get yourself perhaps a multi-effects pedal. You could go for something that's got chorus and maybe some reverb in there as well. Maybe get something like a Boss ME-80 multi-effects.
Hey, thank you very much, Mark Packham.
Did I get the point for that?
So, well, yes, there are 10 points. I'm just rating you what I feel that you've given me there.
Okay.
Next up, Matthew Knight. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I run a pedal setup with two stages of drive. I am looking for something absolutely crazy to give me more for the, you know, the times when none of my current drive pedals are bonkers enough. I currently run a Tube Screamer and an SD1 as my drive pedals, but I need something that will give me more, something crazy.
That's the most offensive thing you've ever done. Actually, it's not, but on the podcast.
So you want another crazy drive pedal to go with your other two drive pedals?
I don't think that my two layers of drive are crazy enough. I need something that will take it to the next level.
Okay, so you could either get a booster to go on top of your two drives, like a TC Electronic Spark Boost, or you could go totally over the top and get something like a Zvex Fuzz Factory that will allow you to do all kinds of wackiness with distortion.
Wonderful. Well done, Matt Knight. Excellent. Second question. New customer.
Hello. I want to sound like Angels and Airwaves.
I hear they're big in the over 80s market.
Ian McKellen's a big fan.
Come on, Matt. What's your Angels and Airwaves setup? Come on, bring it
Does
back.
Does Matty know who Angels and Airwaves are?
No, I don't know.
Oh, God, I've never heard them.
Okay, well, you
they sound like they sound like there. They sound like early Pink Floyd, Matt.
No, he can't help me.
They
he
definitely
can't help
don't.
Me. Okay, wonderful. Well, we're moving round to Jay Cross then. Jay Cross, I need a new person.
Have you run out of voices?
Those are the four.
No, all the other ones are definitely more offensive. So I'm trying
okay.
to.
Well, let's steer on less offensive.
Okay.
Hello there, I'm a bass player and I often end up sharing backline. I'm looking to add something to my pedal board that will make me sound the same no matter whatever amp I'm playing through.
I mean, I definitely recommend going for something that allows you to avoid using an amp if you need to, something that will let you go straight into a PA. I've got both a Tech 21 Sans amp, a bass driver DI. And I've also got a Boss BB1X. I'd probably go with the Sans amp, just because you've got the XLR out and a few more controls over it. My colleague Joe, who normally works in the bass department, is not here today. He really likes the BB1X, and like I'm down with it as well. But I prefer the Sans amp. I think the drive just sounds a bit better.
Excellent. Well done. Last question.
Why you hammed it up to squeeze a couple extra points out?
Well, that's just my customer voice. That's how I talk.
Hello there. I want to sound like Royal Blood.
What are you playing? You playing guitar or bass?
Well, I play bass. You're
playing bass? Oh, easy. I mean, I definitely, if you want to like sort of keep it simple, I'd go with one of the new Orange OB1 series amps, because you can sort of bi-amp with them, which gives you the opportunity to keep the clean signal and get the drive signal over the top. So you can, you know, you can really push that, push the sort of clean drive mixture through on those big riffs.
Brilliant, excellent, well done. Well, I'll let you know. I'll let you know what you individually scored for that round, and then I think whilst we go back to the ordinary podcast.
So, I think voices became voices became a real sort of an essential part.
Well, doing weird essential and
Very offensive.
Yeah,
I would say
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, fine.
I'm pretty sure we wouldn't do that now.
No, retrospectively, probably.
But mind you, can you offend someone when the accent is so all over the place that no one specifically is being targeted?
Because no, exactly.
Unless someone actually sounds like that in real life, and they might find it.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was certainly on the line. But, you know, I can't remember who won that. I think Jay Cross won the first one because he definitely did the second one.
No.
And then
I did the second one.
No, you didn't, mate. Mark, you didn't win a quiz.
Oh, yeah, until the fourth
episode
one.
Episode 100 was your first hosting of a quiz.
Yep.
So I think Jay won the first one. Matt won the second one. I do remember because it was Jay won because he scored 4 points
on the customer facing round,
which was enough that he was probably 8 points behind the two of you. But he won that one. So
I don't like leaving the last round open to your interpretation. That seems dangerous.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about interpretation. You also included a very similar round in episode 100, 100 episodes ago from now, when you hosted a quiz. And you introduced an impressions round.
Yeah, the idea of this was to get you to do impressions of each other, as I'm sure you'll hear me say in a moment. And I think one of the funniest things we've ever done. This is awesome.
The only
less of a question. Well, it is a question. The question for round 5 impressions is: who can do the best impression of one of the other contestants? Round 5. Who can do the best impression of one of the other contestants? Matt Knight, I think it's your turn to go first.
This is unfair.
No, this is fantastic.
This is unfair.
The problem is I could do Jay really well visually because when Jay's drunk, he stamps on the ground a lot and becomes very loud. So I think I just need to shout.
But what would be the audio representation of that, Matt?
I literally have no idea. I wish I could do. Maybe I could do Joe Branton and then do questions. Questions.
That was actually quite good. I will think about that. On to the judging. Joe Branton, you are next.
Okay.
Okay, he's preparing himself, sort of shuffling a bit.
This is unfair.
Why is this unfair?
Because he just did like a one word one.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, it's your job to impress. The whole point of this round is to impress me with your impression. Like, if you think you can't do any better than Matt saying questions, I think you don't deserve to be Jay.
Okay.
He's building up to it, shuffling in his seat slightly.
All right. I'm getting ready.
Get off my glasses.
He's trying to borrow Jay's glasses.
I need to get into character. All right. Oh, it's really difficult.
Well, that's the whole point of the round.
Okay.
Okay, he's preparing himself.
Yeah, I know. It's difficult. It's difficult. Okay.
Stalling for time.
Yeah, I am stalling for time. The thing is, what you've got to remember is, what it is about, when everything is one breath. That's about it. Maddie's got her head in her hands. Listeners, I'm so sorry that took so long.
She's desperately trying not to laugh at the fact that A, Joe made her laugh, and B, it was good.
That was a brilliant impression of Matt. Well done. Jay Cross, bear in mind, you've got a 1 point lead over Joe Branton. You need to pull something out of the bag because that was very good. Okay, psyching himself up.
So I'm not going to go quite as easy as Matt did by just saying one word.
Okay. Do I need to ride the volume?
No.
Okay, fine. He's getting into character. I can see it.
I've got to try and. I don't think this is going to be as good. I've got to say.
Okay, cool.
This is terrible radio.
This is fantastic radio. The anticipation. Ready? Come on.
Listeners, I hope you've pulled over in your cars. I hope you
I think we might have had a few road traffic accidents after that last one. Come on, Jay. Got to hurry you.
Okay, wait. So, contestants, so that doesn't include you, really.
That does not include me.
Oh, I see what he's done
there. I see
there.
Why it's very carefully worded. I'm pitting you against each other. I'm building the tension. Come on, Jay. You've got 2 seconds.
Okay.
One. Two.
Guys, so the thing that you've got to remember, yeah, is not everybody who listens to this podcast likes Fender guitars or Gibson guitars, yeah? And we go to these shows and you've got to remember that people out there want to learn about new guitars, not just the same old stuff that you're into, okay? So we've got to go to the bass show. Mark!
There was some actual damage happening there and very, very red faces all around. Very, very good. So, and I have to deliberate now. Again, fantastic impression of Matt.
He actually broke a pen.
He actually did break a pen. That's what that shattering sound was.
Which I would say I've never done.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
Jay actually
Matt,
did
I
break a pen.
He did. He got so angry about not going to the bass show.
So, what, I can't remember what happened points wise then, but I've got to say, Joe's impression of Jay was so good.
Unbelievable. Unbelievably good.
Because when he actually started, I was like, actually, I thought Jay started talking.
Yeah.
And then I realised that the tone of voice is very, very slightly different.
But also, what was really funny is Jay's impression of Joe just sounded like Jay again, but like saying, maximum Jay.
He sounded exactly like Jay. He was just saying the things that I'd been saying.
Yeah.
I think at that point in time, I was on a real kick for new gear, and I was really annoyed that we kept banging on about the same old stuff, and I was trying to broaden her, which is incidentally not something I'm trying to do now. I don't give a crap about new guitars.
I mean, didn't you just do a Patreon episode called Branton's Brands where you talk about new brands?
No, it's not about new brands. I talk about old aluminium guitars from the 70s.
Okay,
it's all about old stuff.
Oh, right.
The only thing I care about now is vintage gear.
Right. Headless Strandbergs or whatever.
No, I don't care about anything other than vintage gear. I'm selling anything I own now that's not old. So I'm getting rid of my Baja Telly. I don't need that.
You got plenty of jokes for sale, right? Because you're full of old jokes and that, like rubbish jokes and that.
Those really were our best bits of comedy gold, weren't they?
Yeah, literally for 100 episodes, we've not done anything funny. This is showing us up this episode.
So the quizzes were fantastic. And the other thing that we've had, which we've managed to do, is have some really great guests on the Guitar Nerds podcast across 200 episodes. And we don't often get guests on. And when we do get guests, them a lot of the time they're reoccurring. It's more like friends of the podcast and additional members, because we have a core sort of backline of like additional Guitar Nerds hosts, which would be, you know, Dan Grace, Mikey Demas, Mary Spender. Those are probably our three sort of most essentials, I guess, that we have to, you know, when a few of us can't make it. And each of them is a really interesting person to have on, because they've all got their own thing that they bring to the podcast, you know.
Well, except Dan Grace, you know, no one likes him. He just usually brings a few beers along, so we're like, yeah,
yes,
great.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the cool things that we've done, you know, obviously she's blown up into a mega internet superstar now. But when we had Mary on for the first time for a Patreon interview, she wasn't as well known, and that interview is really good. We kind of go into sort of like industry stuff, and you know. I think at that point, the only pedal she owned was the Turnip Greens by Electromonix. And that was kind of how I discovered her. I was just looking for reviews of that pedal and then saw that pop up on YouTube. And, you know, she wasn't, I don't think at that point she was doing like Tuesday Talks and stuff like that.
I think she was probably doing Tuesday Talks.
Maybe not. I'm unsure. But, she, you know, and we had a really good chat about kind of like state of the industry. And it's like a real kind of like nice little
time capsule when you consider, you know, Guitar Nerds has gone on to do other stuff and she's definitely gone on to do tons of other stuff. So, yeah, quite an interesting little interview.
Yeah. Okay. So that's always at the core. I've been songwriting since I was 15 and I've always written with the guitar and I started on electric guitar. But then it's a sort of transitioned through acoustic guitar because it was easier for touring. And then I actually, I started YouTubing kind of by accident. I was just sort of, I've had a YouTube account for since 2006 or something, really embarrassing.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Really concentrating on it for like the past 2 years. And even then I haven't really been concentrating on it until this year, really. And yeah, it's just sort of, you know, how it is as a singer-songwriter, you have to be on all platforms. And then discovering that I do really like social media and I do really like filmmaking, why not put those out there and like make stuff about things that I'm interested in, which is guitars. So
primarily starting off to, I guess, promote yourself as a singer-songwriter, but then moving into the kind of more gear-focused... I guess you would describe what you do as vlogging. Like, I guess most channels out there are, you know, you go into, it will be just a gear demo, basically. That's the way that you find it. And what I find interesting about your channel is that there's kind of more about your life and travels. And I think it's a really interesting way of doing a gear-focused channel.
Yeah. Well, it's mainly because... I'm not so confident in knowing everything about everything that I can review things well. Like if I was handed a pedal, I'd really want to sit with it for a long time before I even started talking about it. And that's why I think I've done like one pedal review on my YouTube channel because it's the only one that I actually use and have gigged with. But the vlogging was, I love vloggers on YouTube. And I was like, well, no one's really doing it for guitars. Obviously some people are. But it's mainly tech videos.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, well, I vlogged at NAMM out of literally just enjoyment of filmmaking. And then since doing those videos and having done a few sort of like acoustic songs to filmmaking with friends and stuff, those NAMM videos were it for me, where I felt like I found a format. And those days were also interesting enough to vlog.
Yeah.
Like most of my days, if I'm either buried in my studio or just doing like admin, that's not very interesting for people to watch on YouTube. So NAMM was particularly full of wonder and worthy of filmmaking. And then I was also there. I was there with my guitar company, but I was mainly just independent. So I hadn't set up any amazing interviews or anything. So I really had to freelance around a bit and just try and see what I could get.
I think that's, so yeah, and then so after that interview, we had Mary on a bunch more times, and obviously, you know, she Skyped in and she came here as well, right?
Yeah, she's done podcasts here. She Skyped in. We had her quite a few times when you weren't around. I remember one time where I really had to beg her to come on the podcast. It was the first podcast after I'd taken over as host. So you'd gone, you'd essentially left the podcast, and I think Jay couldn't make it or Matt couldn't make it. And I was like, there's no way the first podcast with like this new regime
is you on your own,
is me with one of a nerd, like when everyone's going to be unsure whether or not I can host it without you there. And I was unsure whether or not I could do it. I was like, I have to have some sort of pull. And she absolutely couldn't make it. And I had to like call her and really beg.
Please come round.
I was like, please come on the podcast. Yeah, and yeah, she did, which was very good,
I guess,
of her.
We're not going to play a clip from the infamous NAMM episode of last year.
You're absolutely right, Matty. We do have, there is, listener, a secret NAMM episode.
It went out on Patreon, didn't it?
No, mate. The story of this...
No, it went out on normal one.
It went out on normal, and then you removed it because essentially... Okay, so listener, what happened was we were all at NAMM, so it was all the nerds plus JD Short, friend of the podcast, and Mary Spender, and we all went out somewhere
We went out to the... That was the night we went for the, like, crazy vegetarian burgers, yes, vegan burgers, the right. Impossible
beyond,
burgers. Oh,
yeah. Beyond meat, yes.
And I wasn't drinking at the time, so, you know, trying to hold the fort down,
yeah,
trying to present a professional product, thinking, you know, it's NAMM week. So this was a year ago, probably, you know, roughly around this time a year ago. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not drinking, I can hold this together. Little did I know that the amount of booze consumed would completely override the podcast.
Oh, it was, yeah. So we came back and we were like, let's record a NAMM podcast. Or I think we had to, didn't we? Because we'd said we were going to put one out every day. So we had to record one. We got back super late anyway. It must have been, you know, sort of midnight anyway when we got back.
Yeah.
So we set up all the mics, which didn't work because we wanted to have us all on there. And I think there were six of us.
Yeah, there wasn't enough mics.
We had four mics. So we were sharing mics. And you tried to host a podcast with five other people who were absolutely hammered. And you left it up for, I think, a day or two. And then listened back to a bit of it and were like, absolutely, we cannot let this be out in the public sphere.
Yeah, we need to curl this back. Are we going to play a clip of this? Have we got the audio
for this? We do. I do have the audio for this. Okay, fine. We'll play a clip of it. Let's
secret
do that.
Lost podcast. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Joe Branton.
Hello.
Mary Spender.
Hello.
And JD Shaw.
Hello.
So this is chronologically release-wise the first episode from NAMM 2018.
Is it?
But
says who?
You guys recorded one the other night, which has quite a long introduction to JD. Obviously, this in the way they're released will be people's first introduction to you.
Right. Oh. Does that mean we can't talk about embargoed things today?
No, we can, because it'll go out tomorrow.
Ah, because the embargo's actually broken, because technically... Is it after 12?
Wait. But the things that you might talk about, you already talk about quite heavily in the companion episode to this one, which is the Music Man special.
Can we call that one the JD Short special?
Yeah, sure, whatever. Call it whatever you want.
Hold on. How much do you contribute to Patreon? just
JD's
wondering.
Top tier. I read his name.
So, it's top tier. Because is Mary top tier? I'm just wondering.
Mary's not top tier.
No. Sure. Lowest tier, if anything. The lowest possible
lowest
tier.
So
like $1.
Tier.
Do you get
Rude.
That? Do you like it without the adverts?
I have to sponsor Beau Banton and other things. So, you know, it takes
Mary
a chip.
Mary is still the only person backing the Beau Banton Patreon.
I've been bagging it for like 4 months.
Would you just cancel?
Anyway, as you can hear, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so NAMM hasn't kicked off yet. The guys obviously have been doing no work. I've just arrived and gone, well,
Rude.
We need to actually get this ship into order.
And we're halfway through a bottle of golden margarita.
So it's time. So this...
This is the best podcast.
In terms of the NAMM podcast this week, I think this is the kind of... this is the zero issue. This is the one before the proper work actually get started, because yes, you guys are drinking some golden margarita, whatever that is. It comes in a plastic bottle, so it can't be that good.
No, it's brilliant.
A lot of the NAMM stuff hasn't been released yet. Well, we haven't seen any of it yet, but some of it has.
Of it was leaked. Although we saw some leaks.
We can't talk about leaks, but we can talk about stuff that's
about
officially. And we can't talk about WikiLeaks. Oh. We definitely can't
surely,
do a podcast for
leaks. Surely we can talk about the nine-necked Fender.
Well, yeah, we can talk about that. I mean, what I was going to start off with, so you guys, Joe, JD and Matt have been here since when?
We've been here since
Monday?
Saturday.
That's
Mary's been here earlier, though.
Okay, so...
But Monday we started actually doing things.
And JD obviously has been helping out with doing some driving around and going to factories and introducing us to people and doing other cool stuff. So what have you guys actually been doing while I've been, you know, working hard back at HQ?
I mean, I've had to, like, the one thing I've had to do is, like, train my liver to keep up with Joe Branton.
I mean, obviously.
But we have actually done some more guitar-related stuff. We haven't actually just taken this as a massive holiday. Just because I've actually had to do some work.
Hey, I've done loads of work.
You have. Joe has done some work.
I mean, this giant bottle of golden margarita in front of me suggests
it
otherwise.
Certainly
that
worked.
That was Mary Spender's.
That only appeared courtesy of me.
Yeah, okay. So Saturday.
Guitar nerds,
what did everyone do on Saturday? Matt?
Well, apart from the heavy drinking that we did on the plane.
So, I think we covered the drinking. So, yeah, we have had slightly more professional guests on as well than the drunk cast that happened at NAMM, one of which was Mikey Demas from Skindred, who I think... Has he been twice, or is he here just once?
I believe he's been on twice, yes.
Yeah, and we talked about tons of stuff, talked about his rig and things like that, probably some tour stories as well, and yeah, he's just a super nice guy. Great to have that kind of friend of the podcast, someone we can call on who's got loads of industry experience and loads of tour stories, but also someone who's got great taste in guitars.
Great taste in gear. It's actually lovely to know someone like Mikey because, you know, he is, of course, an international rock star. And for him to sort of become part of the Guitar Nerds community so willingly, I think, is so very humble of him and cool as well. But... also, really nice to have someone who has like the most professional of professional setups to sort of talk to about this sort of thing, to see what that point is that you reach when you can have whatever gear you want.
Yeah,
he's a really cool dude, and it's really great to have him on the podcast. You let this go out because you were hosting at this point. You let this go out with a lot of swears.
Yeah, sometimes you can't reel a guest in.
No.
Sometimes, you know, a guest, and, you know, he is a very, very professional man, but sometimes, you know, you just want to let guests go. So if we play a clip now, you're going to have to do some bleeping.
Yes, listener, enjoy the fact that I have had to go back through this and beep it.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And a very, very special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself, or would you like me to do it?
I think I deserve an introduction, actually.
Okay, so joined by guitar virtuoso. Let's go with that. Wow. Plus expert beard wearer.
Yeah.
Plus all
sunglasses. Excellent. Idol.
Purveyor of indoor sunglasses.
Yeah. Sunglass enthusiast. Yeah, an all-round, generally bloody good bloke, Mikey Demas from the band Skindred.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for joining us. So, basically, as people regular listeners to the podcast know, Matt Knight, who is our kind of regular contributor, is off in Japan doing his job share, and that no one else normally does this podcast, so it's fantastic. We've been getting like some guests, kind of fill-in hosts and people to sit in on the pod, so it's excellent that you've joined us, Mikey. Sorry it was so late notice.
Well, you know, you caught me on a good, and I'm sort of, I've got an evening to myself, which is unheard of, actually, so what better way than to, you know, riff about guitars for a bit.
Indeed. What I thought we'd do is, because normally the podcast runs, you know, we go through the week's news, we go through some kind of listener questions and stuff like that, but what I thought we could do is just basically have a chat about you and how you got started in this whole crazy business, and what you're up to now, what you're playing, favourite bits of gear, and we've also got some questions specifically for you as well. So lots cool. Lots to cover, I guess. So... I guess let's start with, how did you get into playing guitar? How did you get started on this journey?
I think when I was about 11 years old, my dad sort of tried to put a guitar in my hand. My dad played guitar. There was always guitar in the house. He had like a 70s Les Paul copy, and, you know, lying around the house, which I sort of would occasionally go up to and sort of flick and make noise and be... You know, I think he said, when you can pick it up, you can have a go on it, that kind of thing. So, because it weighed a ton, you know what I mean?
Yeah. 70s Les Paul Custom's not something a young kid's picking up, I'd imagine.
No, it was like a breeze block, that thing. So I think when I was about 11 years old, he sort of put an acoustic in my hands and I took it from there, really. I think he tried a bit earlier, but when I was about 8 or 9, but I just wasn't having it because... couldn't do the chords, couldn't do it, and lost interest. But then when I was 11 or 12, I came back to it, and for some reason, I think the first thing I saw was like the Woodstock documentary, you know, the film, the original one.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix and Santana and, you know, 10 years after and all that stuff. It was kind of the linchpin that made me kind of want to do it, you know? And not that necessarily any of those players come through in anything I do these days.
I think that's debatable, I think. So what sort of music was on around the house growing up? Because I think that kind of dictates like what you get into later on.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, lots of rock and roll, you know, Rolling Stones, Beatles, punk rock, Elvis Costello, Chuck Berry, things like that. You know, primitive guitar heroes, if you know what I mean.
All guitar-based stuff, basically.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah, yeah. My dad was a big influence on me for you know, picking up guitar and sticking with it and doing something with it. And there was always really rocking. Yeah, I think he's got a good, fairly good music taste, you know, and he always did when I was a kid. So that really dictated what I got into and, you know, what I'd be listening to.
I guess you're probably like similar-ish age to us as well. So I'm guessing mm-hmm. that like guitar music was kind of back on the rise by the time that you were, you know, starting to pick up guitar.
Yeah, by the time I was a teenager, you know, you had things like Green Day, which was huge. Obviously, Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Rage Against the Machine. Sort of just, you know, and that was kind of my gateway into heavier music, really. I didn't grow up listening to metal. I wasn't really inspired by that sort of shredding stuff at all. It's something I came to later in life, really, where I think, you know, the first time I heard Pantera, I was probably about 18.
Yeah.
I was quite sheltered from that stuff where I grew up. You know, everyone was kind of hippies. People were listening to like Jamiroquai and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And more sort of, I don't know.
Another person that we were very, very lucky to get on episode 48 of the Guitar Nerds podcast was Tom Searle from the band Architects, who very sadly passed away about a year after we recorded this podcast. But it was incredible to get someone from such an important new upcoming band. And you think now that sort of however long on this is, a couple of years on from that, Architects headlined Wembley a couple of nights ago from when we were recording this, which is amazing. And also, you know, to be honest, just for a listener's perspective, I thought it was really nice to have someone who was so the other end of gear, because he was very mayonnaise, ESP-driven guitars and all digital rigs, which is, of course, something that we're not especially experts in, so we tend to not cover that side of stuff so much. So I'm really interested to get some insight from him. And also, really nice to get like the origin story about how he came to learn guitar and stuff. And you know, Mark, you asked him those sorts of questions, and he covers that quite early in the LTG, podcast. So let's listen to a clip of that.
And you know, with EMGs in, so it finally sounded like metal. I played that for years and years and years. I must have done hundreds and hundreds of shows with it, and that was my. I loved that thing. I loved it for years, and luckily, eventually, I say eventually, it wasn't that long actually. It was 2007 or 2008, maybe. Got endorsed by ESP, and got given a few LTDs, and yeah, that was me with them for years and years, and. I loved them as well. Yeah.
You've recently made another move.
Yeah, I've made another move, haven't I? Yeah. I did do first act for a while, but let's not talk about that.
We should. There are actually questions about that, and I think it came up a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
We did have a question.
You didn't believe me about the fate of first act.
Yeah,
it's finished now, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It still exists, but first act now make Spider-Man ukuleles.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is that, yeah.
SpongeBob ukuleles.
But yeah. Is that all they make?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we looked it up because I didn't believe you at all. No. And yeah, apparently
the
First Act Now
still exists,
has now in some way gone into making like commercial children's. I think what they do is they buy the license. So they're buying like SpongeBob or Marvel or whatever, and they're making things around that, whether it's ukulele or little kids' guitars and things like that.
But you actually came onto First Act at a time when they were really gaining momentum, especially in sort of metalcore, and they were throwing out a few signature models as well.
They were throwing them out. I think that the thing is that they put the horse before the carriage or something, you know. It was like, it was all... It got ahead of themselves a little bit, and it was too good to be true. You know, the amount they were throwing out at all these different artists. Like, if you're giving a guitarist like me at the level we were at that time, multiple free custom guitars.
Yeah, because it was all coming out of a custom shop, like that pay equivalent to sort of Fender's $2,500 a pop custom shop.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I think they were. It was all very enchanting, the idea of these custom guitars, but I think the truth is that I preferred the LTD that I was playing before.
Did you stay with First Act for long?
It probably was only 2.5 years or three, or maybe 3 years. I don't know. Time is...
You left ESP for the First Act things at the time.
Yeah, but I think I went back to ESP.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. At the time, it was my situation with LTD was pretty woeful. I mean, once I stopped being, you know, like a kid with stars in his eyes about it, I'm endorsed by LTD. And I started realising that, you know, they didn't really give...
They were just
very cheap,
very cheap guitars, didn't you?
Yeah, so then I went to them, and then by the time that whole thing with First Tape was over, ESP, you know, I started speaking to the guys in the US, and they were giving me the ESPs. And
I guess that's to do with your career kind of building up over time,
sure,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, I mean, I don't know if anyone even cares to hear about the inner workings of the hierarchy at ESP, but I think
it's actually one of the most complicated hierarchies of
I think for the sake of this podcast we should probably not go into that too deeply, but like you say, probably when you were earlier on, you know, I guess that's the benefit of releasing more records and proving that you can do it for years and years, you start getting better endorsement deals.
And in retrospect I was very lucky to get any deal in the early stage. I mean, that was pretty wild, really. We were that one rung above being just a local band, really, you know.
So was that the first record?
First and second, I think, yeah. First and second.
So that's what, 2006
to 2008,
right, okay.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Maybe into 2009. Yeah, maybe into 2009,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So what are you playing now?
I'm with Mayonnaise now.
Okay.
This is the most exciting one, I think, for things you play. I don't think we've ever mentioned Mayonnaise.
Well, unsurprisingly, I mean, you've seen the pink Mosrite copy that's sitting over there, and Jay's Les Pauls and stuff. They're not guitars that we often cross paths with.
This is actually something that we should get more into doing. We've tried it before, and I with just the four of us, and the problem is that because all of us are like Fender and Gibson...
Inward facing.
Yeah. Very, yeah, exactly. It's very much with this podcast. Obviously, we're kind of, none of us are like metal players, so crossing paths with, you know, things like custom build, you know, like Mayonnaise and things like that, we don't often have a lot of interaction with them. So, tell us a little bit about the company first, because, like I say, it's probably the first mention ever on Guitar Nerds, and more about the guitar that you actually play.
Well, this is by far and away the company of all the ones that I've played that I am the most interested in and most excited about. Firstly, I mean, the guitars are just fantastic. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I definitely got to a point with ESP where I started, might sound bad, but I started getting to the point where, you know, these initially very precious things to me were sort of the things that I would drag across the stage by the strap with no respect whatsoever. And they weren't really very dear to me anymore. So I was looking for a new company, and I can't remember who I saw playing them, but anyway, it's a Polish company, and all I knew is initially I'm just a guy that likes the way guitars look.
Yeah.
So that's first and foremost. You know, we'll get to how they play and how they sound and all that boring stuff later. And I just loved the way they looked, and I contacted them. I filled out an endorsement form, and they said, "Yeah, great. You know, we'll work with you." So away we went. And I got a loan guitar off them, but I still have. I ended up keeping it.
Is it the Regius?
Yeah, that's series? I have four of them.
I was surprised that you said that. You said you go for things on the basis of the way that they look, because the Regius is the guitar is that they market themselves as being like the player's guitar. It's certainly right. the least swag of all the
right
the mayonnaise things.
Right, yeah. Well, it just, you know, I got to a point where I wasn't into like the super metal looking thing. I mean, my band is pretty super metal, really, but I'm not really a super metal guy, you know. And it just sort of has that look about it where it's like classy and without being, you know, it's not like a BC Rich Warlock, yeah. You know.
It crosses and, that session player.
Yeah.
So one thing that we did kind of always think about when starting the Guitar Nerds podcast is that we wanted it to, you know, we wanted some way for people to get more content than just what we were putting out every week. And obviously Patreon has been a really good avenue for that. So for those, everyone knows what Patreon is right now. They probably didn't when we started this.
No, I think it was a very new platform.
Yeah.
And I mean, I tell you what, certainly when we started the Patreon, I didn't think that it would be paying my monthly wage.
No, you know, it's not a huge monthly wage.
No.
But it's kind of paying for what it's allowed us to do is, you know, for you to go kind of full time with Guitar Nerds and build this into a bigger thing than just us getting together on Monday nights to record a podcast and putting it out. So yeah, Patreon, firstly, for everyone who's contributed over the past 4 years, it has meant that we've been able to keep doing this. And you know, none of us are really driven by money, but it's more like now it's given us time. The Patreon gives us time that we can grow Guitar Nerds, and yeah, it's given us the ability to do things like go to NAMM and go to guitar shows and stuff, which have meant that we've got content to bring you every week. So Patreon is a great thing. I think we didn't know what to do with it to begin with.
Not for a long time.
And
yeah,
you can kind of hear that from the first ad that we did. So one cool thing that we did on Patreon this year involved you, Matty, which, yes, well, I say this year, I guess it wasn't. Was it this year? 2018?
No, well, 2017.
Patreon allowed us to have time and space for you to do a kind of weekly check-in with the listeners when you went to work in Japan for 3 months.
Yeah, I think that's always been really nice about doing the Patreon, and actually the four of us just sort of growing together as a group of people doing this podcast is that we can kind of do it minus one person, potentially forever with no more J Cross. But it was nice because I spent so much time by myself in a country where no one really speaks your language, and to kind of have a chat and do a load of guitar related stuff outside of, you know, my comfort zone, and then still have people listen to it and enjoy it and get feedback from it was wicked. And I think it's nice to know it, for me, it was really nice to know that people actually still care about what you have to say. And actually in one way that people are actually listening, because sometimes I, you know, we do this podcast and you think there can't be that many people that listen. And then you suddenly do a solo podcast where you talk for 45 minutes into a phone. And
is that what you did? You did it into a phone?
I did it into my iPhone with a Shure MV88.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's actually okay. I actually really rate those MV88s. I think they're quite good.
No, they're great.
We're not talking about gear on this podcast. This is strictly talking about Guitar Nerds. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, that was really cool. And I think I also, and whether there's a clip of this, I did a completely solo podcast once when I think everyone was like, oh, I can't do this week. And we had no idea what we were going to do.
Yeah, yeah, we did. We did. I think what we should do is play a clip of you in Japan. Because for me, it was like, it was great. Because I wasn't speaking to you every week. You know, obviously we normally get together and we talk and do the podcast every week. And that is really, you know, all four of us have gone off and done different jobs, you know, when we all came from the same job initially. And like getting together every week, most of us, you know, around the table and you know, you via Skype, Matty. It's really, you know, I look forward to it every week. And I know last year I didn't get, the end of last year, get much time to do podcasting. It kind of felt weird not speaking to you guys. So when you were doing your podcast from Japan, it was great for me because you were sending them to me and I was kind of editing them and tidying them up a little bit. And for me, it was great because, you know, I wasn't getting that time to sit and like talk to you about what was going on in Japan. So it was awesome for me to like listen to that every week while I was doing the edit of it and just catch up on what you were doing.
Let's drive. Let's go to some secondhand stores. They know I like guitars. And so we went to this place called Hard Off. Now, there's three Hard Offs in Hamamatsu, and they are basically the best secondhand store you will ever go to. Now, in England, we don't have thrift stores, but I know it's a big thing in America, and we have charity shops. People kind of just take their junk to in England. And we have the car boot sale, which we've talked about on the podcast before. But over here is something like totally different. Now, I was talking to my colleagues about this, and they're taught from a young age never to be wasteful and to always look after your possessions. So here, the secondhand stuff is basically brand new. Like, it's, I'm looking at stuff that's like 30 years old and it looks like it's never been used. And when they get it, they clean it, they scrub it, they check it, and then they plastic wrap it. And it's amazing. Like, you're seeing all this stuff going, this is basically brand new without the box. And I mean, they sell everything, like turntables, old records and stereos. They still love CDs out here. Books are in mint condition. It is crazy. But the great thing is that here there is so much secondhand guitar stuff. And outside of Tokyo, it's a little bit cheaper. And because we're in Hamamatsu, which is where the Boss headquarters is, there's loads of Boss stuff. So we went to the first one and it had some old Boss micro racks in it, which I need to go back to in the weekend, I think, and go and buy. They have loads of secondhand guitars, loads of Japanese brands I've never, ever heard of. And yeah, it was kind of great. And so we got back in the car and he was like, okay, you know, let's go back to the flat and then we're going to go out. So I went to like a Boss drinking party, like a welcome party, basically, which is really nice. We went to a traditional Japanese izakaya, which is like a tavern, like a pub. You'll sit kind of underground. So the table looks like it's level with the floor, but there's a space where you sit underneath it. And basically kind of had some traditional Japanese stuff, had loads of beer and kind of went home and slept right through. So that was kind of like, right, basically no jet lag. I'm kind of all right. Basically got in and pretty much passed out. Woke up the next day and was like, okay, you know, what are we going to do today? Had to go and buy a load of essential stuff. So I bought kettle and pots and pans and, you know, all of that. Because I need, like, you forget, there's loads of stuff you can't bring with you. And I kind of like, I need towels, you know, I need something to dry my clothes on and everything. So we went out and got all of that. And we went to the first and biggest guitar store in Hamamatsu. So there's two, and the biggest one is this place called Sonics. And it's a little bit more, I guess it reminds me a little bit like kind of like GAC in a way. You know, it's kind of cool. It's vibey. And just walked in. Massive wall full of pedals, and I kid you not, my first mission, as some of you might have seen on Facebook, was to buy a Boss FZ2. And what was the first thing I saw? An FZ2. So I was like, right, I'm buying that. Haven't even plugged it in yet because I haven't got an amp, which, you know, maybe I'll talk about later, but basically I couldn't bring an amp with me, so I haven't got an amp. So bought an FZ2, looked around, and I tell you what, the one thing I've noticed about Japan, every secondhand store that sells pedals seems to have a Klon in stock. They must have loved them out here in the 90s. They are absolutely everywhere. This store had two, a gold one and a silver one. And a guy today at the work said, oh, well, you must go to Nagoya and you must basically go to all these secondhand shops. And they said there's one called Effector Freak, which is basically just a shop for effects. And first thing I saw on there, it's like secondhand Clonfacel. It's like, this is mental. It's like, the price, they definitely aren't cheap. They were like 1,600 quid, which is at the real top end of what they go for. And I was like, if I had the money, I would consider it, but definitely not going to spend 1,600 quid on a Clon. Mainly because I want to save it for loads of other cool secondhand stuff. So we did that, and then I kind of... Did we go out? I can't really remember what I did the Saturday night. I remember being a bit tired, maybe having a couple of beers, but Sunday was the odd one because I was sort of by myself. And I was like, you know, what do I do? So I went for a run because, you know, I'm a runner. But at like 11 o'clock, it must have been 28 degrees and about 80% humidity. It was absolutely horrific. It was so warm and I was just absolutely drenched. So I came back and I was like, okay, well, maybe I should just like walk into town. But it's kind of weird because I'm one of the only Western people in Hamamatsu. So you kind of feel a bit odd. And there's no English here. And it's almost like, I guess, almost not being able to read or write your native language. I'm basically looking at everything going, I don't understand. And, you know, I know a few words and they do speak some English, but it is definitely difficult. And I'm kind of nervous. I've never really done solo traveling before. So sort of going, oh, you know, what do I do and what do I say? I'm worried about getting in stops and shops and buying stuff. So I was like, right, okay, there's another hard off that I haven't been to just around the corner. And I walked down, it's this massive supermarket. They've built one of these secondhand shops on top. Walked in, I was like, I can't see any of the pedals. So I walked around and then I saw this massive wall of guitars and then the pedal display. And then I was like, oh, you know, Metal Zone, it's like 10 Metal Zones, loads of HM2s, loads of HM3s, loads of cool legacy ones. And then I was like, DS1, I was like, that is a long dash DS1, that is a vintage DS1. And there was two DS1s, one was 3,600 yen and one was 4,100 yen. And the 3,600 yen was the long dash. And I was like, still trying to get my head round yen, so 150 yen is basically £1. And I was like, that long dash DS1 is 25 quid. And I was like, I'm just going to have to buy it. And it's got a box. I don't think it's the original box, but I was like, it's got a box. So I was just like, you know, typed into Google Translate basically and kind of bought this DS1. So I was pretty proud.
So one of the other series that we managed to do, get away with, I think.
Oh, and the only reason we got away
by
with this.
By the ball skin.
the only reason we got away with this is because we have a paywall.
Well, this is what Patreon gives us the ability to do. You know, we try and keep the Guitar Nerds podcast pretty light. You know, I'd say in general we're pretty positive. If we get sent a pedal for a review or we see something on YouTube, we're not the kind of people that are going to dive in and tear it apart. I'd rather just not talk about it.
Yeah.
But obviously Joe Branton, the only thing he wants to do is tear things apart. So we've had to give him his own little island over on behind the paywall, Branton's Ranton, and this is the place really for you to vent your...
We managed to fool two seasons of Branton's Ranton. Now, they were both recorded in one sitting. There were six episode pieces, weren't they?
We did two sittings. We did the return of Branton's Ranton.
Yeah, that's right. But they were both six episodes.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Both times when we recorded them, we did them in one sitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I drank a bottle of whiskey. So by the end of Branton's Ranton, I'm completely hammered. And I think we, in both cases, save the John Mayer-style episodes for last. But yeah, we should listen to some Branton's Rant. And again, as we're playing something from behind the paywall, I have had to go through this and beep it so that we can air it on this episode. But here's me about halfway through a bottle of whiskey.
I'm saying that there's more out there. I'm saying you're naming stuff that's happened in the past. I just don't know when people are going to start. I don't know how this is still a thing. And the point actually is that people who are using standard tuning are not using that tuning to create new things. Should I tell you what it is on the whole? People buy a guitar. How much can we swear on this?
You can swear.
They buy a Coldplay chords book and that's how they learn guitar. And that's as far as it goes. And that's what standard tuning's created. People learn C, G, and F and think they're a guitarist. And that's all it is. People get guitars, they get chord books for and they learn to play it, and they offer nothing. They don't think about it anymore. They might as well be pressing buttons. They might as well get those foam hands that make a chord shape and just slap them on in different places on the fretboard, because that's all they're doing, making covers of songs that were or even though it's 2017, the technology of strings that's there, the guitar has got to be one of the most versatile instruments ever. We're talking about like 20 plus frets across six strings, and now we have the technology to make gauges so thick that we can get into drop G and you know, still have gauges so thin that we can have things like the Malmsteen strung with eights completely
I mean, standard tuning.
Well, yeah, but no, was Malmsteen standard tuning? Wow, still. That was the tail end of standard tuning being good then.
Fine.
It's inappropriate. There's so much more you could do. People could actually look down different avenues, but they're not. They are playing Yellow by Coldplay.
Name me a good popular song written in a non-standard tuning.
No, that's not the point, because this isn't a retrospective. The title of this is Standard Tuning in 2017. I'm talking about, we're supposed to be looking forward.
Sure, sure.
And there are so many options out there. God, you could just go down half a step and you've got extra options, you know. Try new standard. Try the Fripp tuning, new standard. Tune in fifth, tune in fourths, tune in, you know, tune in. Be Metallica and tune in drop. Like, genres are created off the back of people trying new things. And yet, people are still playing C major, G major, F major.
I'm going to rebut that by saying that non-standard tuning is for basement-dwelling dorks.
No.
People like you who are sat in their dark little room in there, surrounded by pedals, twiddling around, not thinking about how can I make a song for the common man.
No.
How can I make a song for my other loving dorks that will never be successful?
When you say
it will be a load of people standing around going, oh, I like that tuning, that's really good. No. Oh, can you remember what the chorus of that song was? Absolutely not.
That is, do you know, that argument is the equivalent of you saying, oh, I don't know why Shakespeare bothered writing plays. It would be much better if everyone just read The Hungry Caterpillar, because everyone can appreciate that. Just because something's hard to appreciate doesn't make it not good. And that's the problem, is that concept that you've got right there, that dumbing down is okay. Like, we did it with the way we write things in text. Thank God they got rid of character limits. We've done it so badly in music. We've done it with television. And it's just this concept that, oh yeah, we should just be trying to appeal to the stay-at-home X Factor mum. That's what you're talking about when you say writing music for the common man.
So because books are written in the traditional alphabet, you mean all books are boring?
No, so you're taking it too far.
No,
now.
Not taking it too far.
So, that's the equivalent of me saying that single-necked guitars in 2017 aren't appropriate. And I happen to think single-necked guitars have a couple of years left in them before they lose all relevance.
You've literally lost all credence that you had by saying that.
But
so
there's
don't know how anyone could take the rest of this argument seriously.
There's a bar, there's a line, there's a point. And the point is, what you're saying is too far. Normal guitars, standard tuning is a waste of time. There are so many more options. Think of all those extra avenues you can get by. Look at what Extended Range has done. That's created new genres. That's created new concepts.
Sure, but in the grand scheme of things, those are limited to very small sectors of people who listen.
Because people are stupid. Because music's been dumbed down.
No.
People on a whole are dumb. They don't know what they're doing. Most people who buy guitars don't know how to play guitar. That is true. And that is what's happened. We've got this, like, look, we've all worked in guitar retail. We see how many guitars go out every day. Too many.
Oh, well, that was, I was drunk.
Yes, I had
forgotten actually just how slurry Branton's Ranton is, and that one is from
halfway through.
I think that's episode 3 out of 6 of season
of
one
of the first season as well. There is definitely some drunken stuff behind the behind the paywall. Now the other thing that we get to do as a special sort of run of episodes on the Guitar Nerds podcast is our Gear of the Year series of podcasts. Now we started this when in 2013 we did that under the GAK podcast.
We did.
So what did we do? Did we have two under GAK?
2013, 2014.
So I can't remember how in depth, how much has Gear of the Year changed?
So Gear of the Year, quick retrospective of Gear of the Year. So 2013, we had 4 categories, and that was it: best guitar, best amp, best pedal, and miscellaneous. As if like now, pedals has to be split into its own 2 categories.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was pedals and miscellaneous, and then best bass gear was the last one. So we gave bass its own complete own day. That was a mistake. Yeah. And pedals had to share with miscellaneous gear. So let's talk about the gear that was in there. So best guitar we did 4. So the way we used to do it was everyone used to bring 2 things that they wanted to talk about.
Right.
And then out of those 2 things, you had to select 1 thing that you wanted to put through to the final 4.
Oh, I remember this.
And then we used to argue about what the top 2 were, and the top 2 then went through to potentially be argued about for the top 3 Gear of the Year.
Right.
So in the category, so for example, 2013, best guitar, it was Gretsch Jim Dandy, Gibson 1963 335 reissue, Martin Ed Sheeran, and the Squire Vintage Modified Bass 6. Classic.
Good year.
Great year.
That was a good year. I love the Jim Dandy.
Yeah, though. Yeah, totally. Totally. Everything on that list is good. And the Squire Basics and the Ed Sheeran went through to the final, or fight for the considerations for the final. Best amp was the Fender Rampart.
I can't. What was the Fender Rampart? Wait, was that the one that looked like sort of wallpaper-y?
Yes, exactly that. So it had like floral wallpaper kind of texture.
Did either of you? I don't think I've ever played one. Matt?
Yeah, they were great. Not the best one of the series. The best one, which we talked about before, was the Excelsior, but it came out as part of that that whole...
Oh, so the Rampart was part of that, was it? The Excelsior
The Rampart... No, wait.
No, the Rampart came out later, I think. I think it was Excelsior and the Greta.
Yeah, but no, what was the 2-speaker one with the... bypass.
Oh, the Vaporizer.
The Vaporizer.
And then, the Excelsior came later.
Yeah. So...
Wait. What was the metal one?
There was a metal one? Fender made a metal amp. Oh, the machete. The machete.
Yeah. So in best amp, it was Fender Rampart, the 68 Princeton, which is still part of the range, Laney IRT Studio, and the Orange Crush Pros.
I remember fighting quite hard for the IRT.
Yep. Best pedal and miscellaneous, the Zoom H6.
That was the year it came out.
Yeah, that was the year it came out. Strymon. I mean, you know, if we're talking about long-lasting gear, we're recording this right now on a Zoom H6. Yeah.
And it's only the... Is this the second one we've had to buy?
No, that's the first one.
Is it?
That's the original one, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Original Guitar Nerds H6. Oh. So, Zoom H6, Strymon Big Sky, the Bigfoot Thunderpup, and the TC Electronic Ditto Looper. The Bigfoot and the TC went through.
Oops.
And then best bass gear was Fender Dimension Bass.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Now, I can't remember because I didn't listen to all the podcasts when I was making these notes, but... In best bass gear for 2013 and 2014, there's Fender Dimension Bass. Now, I think one of them was Mexican.
No, the first time it was
Chinese one. And then after that was probably the Mexican or the American one.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Fender Dimension Bass, Fender Starcaster Bass, Ibanez BTB 7NT, the 7 string. And then the winner was Gibson 2014 EB Bass. In the final, we basically just picked 3 bits of gear. Number 3, Martin Ed Sheeran. Number 2, the Gibson EB Bass. And at number 1, the Squire Vintage Modified Bass 6.
Why do we have so much bass stuff?
I don't know.
Two basses and an acoustic.
No, because the Vintage Modified is a guitar. Right. It's not a bass.
Sure, whatever.
2014, we did the same structure, but we had more categories. So we had best guitar, best gear of 2013, the best amp, the biggest surprise... A category that might come back this year.
Ooh.
The best pedal, the best bass product, and weirdest gear. So The best guitar was Fender Barhart 60 Tele, the Gibson 2016 Les Paul Junior, the ESP Ben Vineman, and the one that won it was the Washburn Solar 160.
Wait, the Solar beat the Ben Wyman?
It did, indeed.
Oh my goodness.
It did, yeah.
Best gear of 2013.
That was a great guitar.
The Solar was a great guitar. Yeah. Like a heavy metal guitar with, it was like the first metal guitar to have passive pickups. And then, did it have an Evertune bridge?
It did have an the Solars, no, the cheap ones didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So best gear of 2013 we gave to the Ditto Looper because we said it stood the test of time. Best amp we gave to Randall Satan.
What?
Yeah.
We gave best amp to a five-channel metal amp. Matt, I bet that was you.
No, it's not a five-channel metal amp. It's a two-channel metal amp with three gain controls.
Oh, this is rubbish.
The other amps in that category were Orange Dual Dark, the Supro S6420 Thunderbolt, and the Mesa Boogie Mark V Mini. Biggest surprise we gave to the Blackstar Fly 3. Which
I guess it was the first long before Boss had jumped on with the overpriced Katana Mini, the Fly 3.
Careful.
I guess, yeah, no, it's a good amp. I wouldn't pay £100 for a battery amp, but it's a good amp.
That's your preference. Also in that category, the Gibson 2015 Les Paul, which was the thin Les Paul.
And it had like a contoured heel as well.
Boss ME80, that was in there because that was the year that I bought an ME80.
What a great product the ME80 was.
Yep.
The fact that they used like the cradled foot switches on all the controls.
Yep.
Matt, you need to bring that back. Introduce those cradled foot switches.
We still got...
Still make the ME80.
I know, but no one wants a pedal that big anymore, mate. You'd like, but the cradled foot switches
still great.
On a...
Still great. Well, yeah, still great.
Boss do it, don't they? Don't you make those dual foot switches as a separate thing?
Yeah,
yeah. I use it with my MS3. But what I'm saying is, imagine like a DD500, but instead of normal foot switches, you had cradle foot switches so you could have more control.
Yeah, it's got enough in there already. It's got enough in there. Best pedal this year was between the Electro-Harmonix B9, the Boss GP10. Was that the synth, Matt?
That's the synth, yeah.
Right, okay.
Oh, the little yellow one.
Yeah.
Yellow one with the GK.
The Jim Dunlop Echopex preamp and the Strymon Deco. Wait, a strong year.
That was the year that the Echopex preamp
indeed,
came out.
Indeed. Strymon Deco won it, though. We decided that was better. But I think in reflection,
I remember
Echopex
that was
preamp.
A heated
Yeah.
Why was it heated? What did you want to win, Matt?
I think it was me and you on the Deco versus...
Me and Jay probably.
What was the other one?
Echoplex preamp.
Mark, didn't you buy a Deco?
No. In the final, because Deco.
Oh yeah. Okay, fine. So in fact, here's a great thing about this year. So the best pedal category was Strymon Deco, Jim Dunlop Echoplex preamp, Boss GP10, Electro-Harmonix B9. Let me read you the other two categories. Best bass product, the Fender Classic Player Rascal Bass won that one. And weirdest gear was won by the Ibanez Ibanez Chaos RG6KPWK.
The Ibanez guitar that had a Chaos pad built in.
But with that all said, the final three were Washburn Solar 160. The one that won it was the Strymon Deco. And in second place was the Electro-Harmonix Soulfood, which didn't even make it into the best pedal category. So I don't know how that happened.
Did we make a last-minute change?
I think we made a last-minute swap out. So, yeah, those are the two that we did at GAC. Let's just have a quick look at 2015. I realise this is going on, so I will read...
No. This is what this podcast is for.
So I'll just read the final... I'll read the winners of each category from 2015. So we had the Gibson 2016 Les Paul Traditional, best guitar. Best other thing was the Boss ES8. The best amp was the Roland JC40. 2014's best product was the Blackstar Fly 3. Best pedal, bear in mind, Blackstar Fly 3, the other things that were released in 2014, we had the Soulfood, the Deco, the Echoplex preamp, the ME80, and we chose the Blackstar Fly 3. Unbelievable. The best pedal was DD500. The weirdest gear was the Ranger FX Echo X. The best bass product was the Orange OB1 300. And listener's choice was the Orange Micro Dark. And so your final was the top three were the TC Polytune Clip, the Orange OB1 300, and the Boss ES8 won it. Well, now, see, I think after all the controversy about selecting a power supply this year, I think the Obi-Wan 300 as one of the runners-up of Gear of the Year, which is a very, very niche product, really.
Right, it brought bass amplification to the masses.
Yeah, but over the over the Gibson 2016 Les Paul Traditional, you know,
wasn't it because we got in trouble for? Oh no, that had won best guitar.
Yeah,
hadn't it?
Exactly that. But yeah, we picked the Obi-Wan 300 as the second best bit of gear released in 2015, and it, you know, it's a great bass amp. But yeah, looking back on some of these decisions, unbelievable. I don't have all the data for 2016 because I didn't get around to listening to it, and the spreadsheet that we've got is messed up. But what I can tell you is the winners of the categories. No, I can tell you the top five actually. So. I can tell you that the top five products of that year were the Tech 21 Bass Fly Rig 5, the Reverend Billy Corgan Signature, the Honey Boy 5-watt amplifier.
Oh, I love that.
Second place was the Boss Katana 50, and first place was the Echoline Roadrunner.
Oh, what a great pedal. Matt, did you ever buy one?
Roadrunner, yeah, still got it. Still one of my main drive pedals.
Is it? That was a great pedal. See, I was a big fan of that.
And that was the year that we almost didn't put the Katana in because we nearly put the Blues Cube in instead.
Yeah.
And then the Katana turned out to be massive.
A great product. Yeah. So for me, that was the year where we kind of hit a kind of Gear of the Year sweet spot. And I think there was kind of a consensus there. That all those products were great. Let's have a quick look at 2017. So 2017, I don't have the data for the final, but I can tell you the products that won each category.
Right.
And we just went over this in Gear of the Year anyway, so you guys will know. I'll tell you what won. It was the Ernie Ball Sterling James Valentine. But the winners of each category were the Ernie Ball Sterling James Valentine, the Boss MS3, the EVH 5150, the Snapdragon Guitars Track Solo Noir, which I assume was weirdest gear. The Electromonics Canyon. Boss Katana 50. Oh, because that was 2016's gear.
Right.
Best gear of 2016. And then the best bass product was the Yamaha BB734A. Classic bit of gear.
The BB. Oh, my God.
You picked that, Joe Branton. Ooh, picked that.
Yeah, I probably did.
So, anyway, that is the previous history of Gear of the Year.
Wow. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of episode 200.
200 episodes
of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Two whole hundred
episodes. So I guess we'll be doing this again at episode 300. When will that be?
That'll be in 2 years' time.
Oh, God.
That'll be 6 years of doing Guitar Nerds with you. Ugh. I don't think I'll be... I can't be bothered.
Hopefully. No, I imagine... We won't be talking by that point. But thank you very much, listeners, for putting up with us all of this time. And if you haven't put up with us for all of this time, well, you've got 199 other episodes to listen back to.
You've just heard all the best bits, so why would you bother?
That is true.
Yeah,
this was
exactly. That's it.
This was just all of the best bits. But yes, do you know what I realised? I normally have like a script here. For the ending bit.
Funny that you have to script it.
I don't have it anymore. So
you do the Patreon stuff.
Right.
So you say...
I say...
$1 a month.
That's it for us. I've got it. I think I've got it. That's it for us here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. But we'll be continuing on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where this week we'll be talking all about those new 2019 Gibsons.
It's... new Gibsons that are actually good.
I know.
And we're going to talk about them on the Patreon.
We certainly are. We're over on the Patreon, where from as you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode of the podcast ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you that and lots of mini-series, including the new mini-series, Branton's Brands, plus the Patreon episode we're going to record, and $10 a month. Makes you an executive producer and gets you all of those things. Plus, I read your name out in a funny voice, as I have done for... Do you know what I was wondering?
In one breath.
When do you think we started doing me reading out the names? Because it wasn't episode one.
No. I think it's probably...
like 50? 100?
Yeah, about 50 episodes ago. Mm. Something like that. So you've read them a lot.
I have, because we didn't even develop me doing it in one breath. I just used to do it in a funny voice.
Yeah. Now you've got to do it in one breath until you die.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to do a song. It's a little flashback. You ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three. Da-na-na, da-na-na,
da-na-na,
da-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na.
Aaron Sermon, Adam Royce, Chris, Adrian Day, Andrew Goody, Andy McKenzie, Blair Toms, Brad Page, Carlos Manta, Christoph Bramson, Christoph Wolfman Jefferson, Christoph Loseth, Christopher Wilson, Colin Anderson, Dale Roscoe, Dave Lee, Dave Carroll, Derek Rich, DJ Marcos, Duncan Watson, Emily James Baker, Eric Seary, Ernie Cooper, Fletch, Hans Arms, Ivor John Marcotte, Jack Conroy, Jack Godfrey, Jake Curry, Jamie Kemp, J.D. Short, Juan Carrier, Ken Sayers, Chris Connors, Laurie Anson, Ron Cliff, Matt Bellamy, Matt Roberts, Matthew King, Merrick Peters, Robert Paul, Kerrigan, Will Thompson, Rob Cole, Rob Norwick, Rob Mears, Rob Rock, Cousin, Rob Smith, Rob Gizek, Ryan McDermott, Scott.
Oh, Spian! It's finally happened.
No.
It's finally happened.
I was trying to do all the top $10 tier people ever. It was longer. He's been beaten.
Well, he's lost.
I've only been okay. I was only beaten by eight. So I was beaten by eight people, and this is because I'm doing all previous.
Anyone who's ever pledged $10,
yeah, exactly.
Well, it was a valiant effort. Do you want to read the last eight?
Scott Hamilton, Scott Kennedy, Sean Arbo, Stephen Hench, Steve Merkel, Stuart Tate, The Tone Mob Podcast, Tucker Amadon, and Will Clare. So there it is. That took me pretty much half a day, but I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks very much for sticking with us, listeners, and we'll be continuing over the Patreon, and we'll see you next week. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth Tree Runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dasher, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.